speaker is Amy Redken-Ward, and Amy is a senior policy analyst with the Center for Mississippi Health Policy, and she's a Mississippi Public Health Association's affiliate representative of the Governing Council of two APHA. And she has served the Mississippi Primary Health Care Association and also worked at the Mississippi State Department of Health. Amy received her MPH from University of Southern Mississippi and also currently a candidate of DRPH at the Jackson State University. Now, Amy.
Good morning. I am Amy Redken-Ward, and I'm going to talk to you all today about using prevention quality indicators to gauge health system performance. I have no financial disclosures associated with this talk or this work, but if you guys want to challenge my resolve on that, come see me later. The objective of this project was actually to compare where our state sort of lies as it stands concerning prevention quality indicators to gauge preventive and primary care system-wide versus the United States. So we used a mixed method study design. On the quantitative side, we use the prevention quality indicators that are produced by the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality, which is a federal organization. They've been producing these indicators for the nation for the past, since 2003, so past 10 years or so, in a report that they produce annually called the National Quality Report. So that information is available. These prevention quality indicators are a tool that you can use to actually gauge population health on enormously diverse levels. You can look at individual hospitals and compare using prevention quality indicators. You can use it for regions, for states, or for the nation. There's vetted ways to sort of combine those different populations for specific conditions to be able to examine the specific information that they produce. For example, there are about 18 prevention quality indicators that are in use, so to speak, and we selected about four of the major conditions that are common in Mississippi, including diabetes conditions, heart disease conditions, lung conditions, and infection conditions. So to go along with our first examination of what the data may show for these indicators, we also created a semi-structured interview of various healthcare leaders in our state to find out their knowledge and assess the work that they're doing to address some of these concerns. So I'm going to focus on, for this talk, more so on the quantitative findings. For the four acute and chronic conditions that we selected for hospitalizations in Mississippi for 2010, we had about 40,000 hospitalizations. So we had a fairly large sample size to deal with, lots of sick folks for each of those four groups of conditions. So when we compared Mississippi's prevention quality indicator rates with the United States, we were not surprised to find that each of our conditions statewide were significantly higher in Mississippi versus the United States for the same year. Now, to get into a little bit more of the detail for prevention quality indicators, basically, these are conditions that you should not really see hospitalized if you're receiving high-quality preventive and primary care on an outpatient care setting. So basically, you know, we really shouldn't see high levels of uncontrolled hypertension hospital admission rates. But our rates were not only significantly higher, they were 34% higher than the nation. So that gives us an indication of how we're doing on the outpatient care side for prevention and primary care. For lung conditions, there are two primary conditions that comprise those set of indicators, one of which is chronic obstructive pulmonary disease or asthma hospital admission rates for older adults. And then there's another set of indicators that address asthma admission rates, as we all know, for younger children. And both of those lung condition PQIs were significantly higher, 11 and 9% respectively in Mississippi. Diabetes conditions, which diabetes has a, there's a really high prevalence rate of diabetes in Mississippi. So it's very interesting to see how we're doing on outpatient care. And shockingly, we found that uncontrolled diabetes admissions were 35% higher than the nation, and significantly so, as well as short-term complications like your ketoacidosis and things like that admissions were 27% higher. So really indicating that the level of quality or access to prevention and primary care for these conditions, these very common conditions, are lacking. As for infectious conditions, urinary tract infections, admissions rates, and bacterial pneumonia admission rates were all, again, significantly higher. The UTIs, or the urinary tract infection admission rates, were 26% higher than the nation. And again, all of these were significantly higher for our state. So when we interviewed our leaders for the qualitative part of the project, you know, it was clear that people, you know, these leaders understood that there is a problem in our state, but there's a very piecemealed approach to handling the problem. Everyone is sort of doing their own thing. So, you know, basically we need more coordinated work on these efforts. So we scanned the literature to see how we could start a dialogue with our healthcare leaders and policymakers about what we can do now that we have generated this evidence for where we stand on preventive and primary care, particularly outpatient care in our state. And so we particularly took note of some work done by the National Association of State Health Policy, which have use states as laboratories and condense their success stories of how they've coordinated strategies to improve their state's quality of care and prevention and primary care systems. And basically the themes that emerged from their work showed that states focus and work together on health workforce development, health care service delivery methods, payment reform systems, and then they monitor and measure their performance on an ongoing basis. So that was interesting, you know, information to be able to distill and share with our leaders. So at the end of the day, you know, we concluded that our state primary health or health system performance indicators show that our health system is heavily weighted toward higher cost later stage acute care rather than lower cost preventive and primary care, and that our system is unlikely to improve its performance without further coordinated efforts, such as those efforts taken by these other states to improve access and enhance prevention and primary care. But really what I want to share with you all, and I've noticed this with APHA, is that this is a really a good tool. The prevention quality indicators are an evidence-based vetted tool that we can use to really monitor population health concerning preventive and primary care. And, you know, it's very robust. So, you know, it's free software out there that you can use. So I think that's good for us to know as we're all looking at how the systems of care are changing rapidly right now in these unprecedentedly, you know, changing times, given the fact that we're having changes in how providers may be reimbursed or incentivized and how healthcare system delivery are meeting the challenges of expansion to accessing care, you know, for different folks. So that's my, those are my findings. I'll have a report and issue brief coming out in a couple of weeks. That gives you all the detail you'd ever want to know about this issue. My contact information is available here. We also have a Twitter account and with our center, and our website is www.mshealthpolicy.com. Feel free to sign up for our email alerts there, and you'll get all our wonderful issue briefs and reports delivered to your inbox as soon as they're released and hot off the press. So thank you very much for having me here today and letting me share this research.
Thank you, Amy. And our third speaker, Dr. Jonathan Wisbrook, and due to the health-related issues, he won't be able to come. But we also have another wonderful speaker, Mr. Edward Harrison. Mr. Harrison is president of the National Commission on Correctional Healthcare, a not-for-profit organization solely dedicated to improving healthcare in our nation's jails, prisons, and juvenile confinement facilities. For over 30 years, and this organization has been the leading provider of a standard and independent accreditation of correctional health services. And Mr. Harrison also served the president since 1993. So he's going to share, you know, a lot of the work he has done. And Ms. Harrison earned his master's degree from Northwestern University, J.L. Kellogg Graduate School of Management, and also his undergraduate degree from the University of Illinois. Now, Mr. Harrison.